I appreciate everybody coming out this morning and being such an encouragement to me. I have a couple friends who made it out this morning, too, for support, and I really encourage you to get to know them after services. I always love getting the opportunity to get up here and do a sermon or prepare a lesson, and I would highly encourage you that if you ever have that chance to either get up here and teach a lesson or even teach a class in the back, it can be such a beneficial an uplifting experience whenever you can work with a problem that is relevant to you at that time, and you get to dive into God's Word and study more about that and see what He has to say about that. So, how many of us can remember our very first memory verse? I know for some that's thinking back a little bit further than others. I understand that. But a very popular one, of course, maybe it was John 3:16 for God so loved the world, or another Acts 2:38, talking about repentance and being baptized, or maybe it was the 23rd Psalm, or Psalm 1, or Psalm 100, or maybe you got really complex, and you went with the shortest verse in the whole Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept. Well, I'm 23 years old now, I'll be 24 coming soon, and I can't quite remember if I was 4 or if I was 5, I'm sure it was somewhere in that time frame, but I remember there was some Bible classes going on in the back, and a young lady by the name of Shannon McBride, I'm sure many of you know her, she still visits from time to time, she's gone away, but she was teaching them, and I remember we were doing this activity where we had this little, we made these little treasure chests, and we kind of colored them up and put glitter on it, and on the inside of that chest was the words written, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also," Matthew 6:21. Now, I don't want you to think I'm insinuating that a 4-year-old really has any idea what these words mean. See, I knew that I had a box with some bedazzled jewels on it, and I had seen Pirates of the Caribbean, so I could kind of make ties between treasure there. I knew that that was something valuable. And I'm sure that I could kind of make some ties saying, you know, hearts, treasure, treasure's heart, make some connections there that kind of went along. But as I have grown older, and as I have delved into the scriptures more, I have learned what that verse really means and what it means to me. Now the problem is that it may just be that there are adults now walking around that can quote Matthew 6:21 with their eyes closed, but still do not have really any idea what that verse means. See, because the fact of the matter is this, that there is an incredibly weighty and life-changing import to being able to identify that in your life that there will be treasures. And these things will take up all of your time, and they will matter to you more than anything else. They will get all of your attention. And when we can admit that such things do exist, it becomes what? It becomes vital to determine what that is for you, and have you chosen the right one. So, this morning, I would like to go ahead and take a look, and we're gonna start in Matthew chapter 6, and that'll be on page 1117 in your pew Bibles. So we're going to take a look at this context, and we're going to read from, let's go with 19, and we're going to read down through 24. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and ..., mammon, treasure, power, others. See, because here's what we got to understand. in verse 21, what is Jesus doing? He's making a power statement. He's saying that treasures and hearts, these things, they go together. But then what he does is he goes back and he helps us identify what they are and how to identify what they are. And this is going to be the first point we're going to take away from this. Whatever your treasure is, you are storing it up. It's not something that you hope to one day store up. Treasures are getting our attention right now, right here at this very moment. We are gathering up as much as we can possibly get of it, and it's never going to be enough. Nobody ever has enough treasure and says, okay, that's it. I'm good with that. Because why? Because treasure is the pursuit and it's the increase of whatever it is that we love the most. So he says in verse 20 and in verse 19 that this idea of treasure, it's something that you're working for. See, it's something that we are putting in time for. It's something that we're putting in effort. We're mounding it up. We're holding it close and we're protecting this thing. Because why? It matters. It matters to us. You can never have enough of what it is you love the most. So he said, be careful lest that thing become something material, something physical, something of this world. The Ecclesiastes writer, Solomon, says you can never get enough of that. You're going to keep storing it up, and somebody's just going to come right in and take it away from you. So what is Jesus saying? If you're trying to store something up, if you're trying to think of something that matters most, it may be a good idea to make those things spiritual things. Because, see, those get banked into the accounts of heaven, and I know I can. Nobody here, no one can take that away. But I can tell you this. I can tell you this, no matter what it is, this is how you know what your treasure is. You are constantly learning more. You are constantly growing more in it. And you are constantly acquiring more of that thing. But of course, there is more. He goes on to say in verse 22, and he goes on to talk about the eye. And I really think that this part just goes right along with what my treasure is. And he comes back and says, you know, you're going to be storing these things up. And he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. And I love this metaphor. Because if your eye is is taking in light, what are you going to have on the inside of your body? Well, you're going to have light. If your eye is taking in darkness, well, you're going to have the, aka the absence of light, darkness, on the inside. The eye is like a window to your house. If light shines through your window, you have light on the inside of your house. If darkness shines, darkness doesn't shine, but if darkness creeps through the window, there is going to be no light on the inside of your house. So what's being said here? Those eyes, those windows that we have, well, those are your treasure seekers. See, the eyes are going to be honest. The eyes are going to tell the story. See, I find this very interesting, kind of keeping in mind that, you know, we're talking about what we're going to be storing up and whatever your treasure is in life, and you will be storing that thing up. If we went around the room right now and we posed the question, what is your greatest treasure in life? Well, we probably all scream out, it's Jesus. It's God, it's the Bible, it's heaven. At least, probably most of us, I wouldn't want to say all, but probably most of us would say that. But does that pass the eye test? What is your eye drawn to? What can you not get enough of? What are you constantly wanting to get through your eyes more and more? What are you reading? What are you looking at? What are you experiencing? We can portray ourselves with those things. You know, I like this metaphor, and I got it from, but if you go into a dentist office and you take a seat and there's a table beside you, and there's three magazines on that table. There's Sports Illustrated College Football Edition, there's Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, and there's a Bible. Well, which one of those things are getting picked up? Which one of those things are possibly having to get flipped over, or maybe even moved to another table? So, What is your treasure? What do you want to see? Jesus is saying that will tell the story, because to kind of round out the second point, whatever goes through your eye settles in your soul. Then, thirdly, kind of breaking down this this context, he says it really will all come down to one final test of treasure. And that's choice. When you have to choose between one thing and another thing, and after every excuse has been utilized, your choice is your treasure. That's it. And see, he points that out so very clearly in verse 24. Look at verse 24 when he says, "Nobody can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other." In other words, you gotta kind of make somebody angry. You know? If you have to choose between this and that, and one must go and the other will stay, I mean, somebody's gonna be unhappy about that. But you will, and we can all relate to this, you will choose the one that you love the most. You will choose whatever matters most to you. I really, to be honest, I used to kind of despise that part a little bit. You know, I really just wish we could kind of live this Christian lifestyle where there was never a football practice on a Wednesday night, a Little League baseball game at 9:30 on a Sunday, where we could just kind of build this life where we never really had to choose. But see, what's the problem with that? That's not Christianity, is it? How will I know what my treasure is if I never choose? See, I know that choosing is hard, and we're going to go on this morning and talk a little bit more about worship and other things that we can be doing. And you know, I understand that there are other things that take up our time, and maybe even right now, because the fact is that choices are hard. They are hard. But you know, I've kind of come to thank God for those kind of hard choices, because why is that? Well, it tells me, it tells you, and it tells him what really matters most to me. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, obviously, I think you can tell. I've been thinking about this a little bit, this idea of a heavenly treasure. And you know, like I said earlier, I think we can kind of admit that we are drawn to a lot of other things. You know, there are things in this life, there's families, there's recreations, there are responsibilities, there's occasions that we kind of are drawn to. But I think probably most of us here would settle in and say that, you know, heaven is the true treasure and the true love of our hearts. And that really what matters most to us is we just really want to honor God. I think that's what, you know, majority of us would say, and that is a great thing to say. Well, I got to thinking about that a little bit more, and I got to thinking about this little thing that we call worship services. What we're here doing today. Do we really know what this is? Do you know what this is? It is the most concentrated, productive, purposeful exercise of illuminating our spiritual treasure that we will experience on a weekly basis every week in our entire lives. Think about what it is that we've done since we walked through those double doors in the back. Kind of going back to the first point of this context, hopefully we've come here to learn a bit more. Hopefully I want to learn more. I want to learn the songs better. I want to learn about people. I want to learn what Jesus taught. And hopefully I just want to keep storing these things up and never letting them be enough. Because why? That's a treasure test. The second test is, of course, I want to see it. I want to see you. I want to see the Bible. I want these children here to see it. And let's all please keep that in mind, too. There are children amongst us, scattered throughout the congregation, who are seeing what we are seeing, what we are looking at, what we are storing up. And finally, you've made a choice. And you could have chosen other things. Sometimes we say a little bit of that in our announcements. You could have chosen other things, but you've chosen to be here this morning. And that is exactly what you've done. And Granted, I know by this evening that there will be some people that choose to do something else tonight. Some people looking at me right now in this room that do choose to do something else tonight, but I'm not here to judge yet. I'm just here to tell you that you do have a treasure, and whatever it is, it will be constantly taking more and more of your time, and it will be what you want the most, and you will never have enough of that. So, it occurs to me that worship services are a beautiful place. Not the only place we can show our treasures. Of course, we can study at home and, you know, we can do a number of things. But probably the most concentrated, pure effort test of what matters the most is here. And I think that worship should be something that is really, really important to God's people. And I don't just mean attendance and non-attendance. I don't just mean showing up here to get a box checked beside your name. You know, we don't need to be here thinking about what we're going to order for lunch after. Already have something picked out, or that kind of the, you know, the tick-tock, tick-tock. We're looking at the clock. I mean, intensity. You know, we got to have intensity. We got to show up here wanting to store more and more. Because if we're doing it the other way, we got it all wrong. Because this is where the treasure is. This is who we are. So, I'm actually going to share something with you this morning, and I'm a little interested to see how you would feel about these things and see if you agree with some of the phrases used here. I'm going to introduce you to some excerpts said by a man named Wes. Now, you don't know Wes. Wes has made some treasure comments and some in worship intensity comments, and I just really would like to share them and see how you feel about these things. I'll be honest, I really don't know Wes either. Wes is actually, it goes to a Facebook thing actually. I got it, this paragraph shared to me from an aunt that Wes is a gentleman in Port Arthur, Texas, and it got shared through the lines. But as I was preparing this lesson, this really stuck with me, and I was like, wow, this ties in everything perfectly. So let's take some excerpts from Wes. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here's how Wes starts out. I go to praise God. I like that. I go to praise God. I sit in my seat to show my respect. That just kind of jumps right off the page. You know, he starts off saying, you want to talk about treasure? It's not me. I'm not the treasure. It's God. I go for God because that's my treasure. I go to praise Him. What a great way to look at worship. I go to show my respect. This kind of reminds me of Psalm 100, if you would please turn over there with me, and that's going to be on page 689 in your Red Pew Bibles. And we're going to start in Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Do we feel that this morning? Do we feel that praise, that worthiness? I love the use of that word, worthiness. This is special. And I just want to show respect to the one that made this all possible for me. How about this? He goes on to say, I am here. This is words of Wes, by the way. I am there to see my Savior. Sort of an imagery kind of idea, I guess. But I do like it. Do you appreciate the fact that every time we come together as God's people, we get to see our Savior? Not necessarily literally in front of our faces, but I guess more in a spiritual, impactful kind of way. Let's open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And a few moments ago, we partook of this memorial right here. and I saw my Savior. I saw Jesus. Again, not literally, but I saw him dying on that cross. I saw him enduring that shame for me. I see him displaying that love he had for me. And when we gather together, we see him. We're going to go 1 Corinthians. I better turn over there too. 1 Corinthians 11, and we're going to read verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And he had given thanks, and he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Do we see that? In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Do we see that? Because that's it. That's the treasure. A sacrificial lamb who died so that he might become the lion so that we have salvation. That's the treasure. Wes wasn't done there. He just has a couple more comments. Wes went on to say this: "I attend regularly, and it is never enough." Well, I know. There are some people who attend regularly, but for them, it's like quite enough. You know, it's 4 hours a week out of a week is my max. 4 hours out of 176 in a week. I did the math on that, so I could bring that to you. Wes says, "Not me." When I go, it's where I want to be. Because it matters to me more than anything else. And man, I just wish I could go more. I just wish I could be there more. You know, this kind of reminds me of the first century Christians in Acts chapter 2. Please turn over there. We're gonna read a few excerpts about them. Because, see, the first century Christians were not looking at their clocks. They weren't considering a few hours set aside each week to be enough or too much. They wanted to get together as often as they possibly could. We're going to go Acts chapter 2. We're going to start in 41, go down through the end of the chapter. And I hope and I pray that we can find ourselves somewhere in this. 41 through the end of the chapter. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone needed. So continuing daily with accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with people." And watch this: "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Wouldn't you like to be a part of a church like that? Daily. People who needed to see God's people every single day. People who needed to study every single day. They needed to praise God every single day. See, we need to celebrate that and let that never be enough, because that's the treasure. That is treasure right there. We're finding a lot of treasure, but that's treasure right there. Did they have to give up other things to do that? A lot of other things. A lot. But they chose what they wanted to store up, and they chose what they wanted their eyes to see with regularity. They chose it over everything else. I love the heart of Wes. I mean, I'll have to share it to you on Facebook. Just one more quick excerpt, and then we're going to conclude the lesson. So Wes kind of finishes by saying this: "I show my faith by wearing my church best." I kind of find that to be an interesting comment, this idea that it is so important to me that I just got to bring respect to it. I wear the best possible thing that I can. And now, I'm not going to get into a sermon, kind of, you know, telling you what you can and cannot wear here. But I think we all pretty much know what connotes respect. I think we all have a good idea of those things. See, because this is special. Special. And I'm going to dress as nice for this occasion as I possibly can, because it's the most important thing to me. And I don't have a New Testament verse to take you to tell you that Wes here needs to wear a tie. But I do have this. Let me direct us over to this, Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read 28 through 29, because see, I know that giving God respect means that I need to give every ounce that I have to that procedure. Hebrews 12, 28 through 29. And this will be the last verse that we go to. Therefore, since we are received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I love verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. There is nothing passive about being here today. There is nothing kind of a play around about this. So we want to look the part. Wes wants to look the part. So I'm going to kind of conclude by saying this. I didn't have a super long one today, but I hope you kind of got something out of it. You know, I mentioned earlier in my in the very opening remarks that you teach on something that is relevant to you. You get to, you know, kind of delve into God's Word. Well, I didn't want, you know, this to sound like I was just preaching outward, because, see, the thing is that a few months back, whenever Brother Heaton was giving one of his sermons, which to any visitors, Brother Heaton, he's been just, it's on fire, so you really need to come and check it out. But when I was preparing this lesson, I have this little app on my phone, and it is a YouVersion Bible app. I use that. And on this app, it records your streaks. So it records how often you open it up. And it keeps those records. And I've had that for about 2 years now. And so I opened it up and I clicked on it. And in 2 years, the most I had visited consecutively, I had 13 days. 13 days was what my streak was of opening the Bible consecutively for 13 days. And, you know, that kind of struck me that 13 days before something else in my life became more important. Not even quite 2 weeks before another treasure took over. I don't even remember that streak, to be honest with you. I may have opened up a book, but still, I probably not. 13 days is what it took before another treasure took over. So, I'm here to say this today. Have you lost sight of treasure? The real treasure, the heavenly treasure. Have you maybe not proclaimed the treasure yet? You're still out there looking to this, and you still need to find your treasure. Well, here it is. Because the fact of the matter is, everything we have before us, it's gone. It's fleeting before us. We do die. And we're only left with one treasure. So at this time, I do ask you, if you need to find your treasure, or maybe re-find your treasure, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.